there's probably enough to have a whole study on these two verses, but we're not going to do that. We're going to, hopefully anyway, get into chapter 9. For the most part, what we've studied so far in Romans is that salvation is of the Lord. And when we get into chapter 9, we're going to be studying more about just how much salvation is of the Lord. Anyway, we're going to start in chapter 8, and we're going to start reading at verse 35 to lead in. We have 38 and 39 to finish our study in Romans chapter 8. But Romans 8, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Verse 38, it says, "For I am persuaded." Persuaded by who? Now, I might persuade Sparky to make lasagna, and then again, she might buy Stouffer's. we won't go there. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Well, maybe I will, but anyway, persuaded. I am persuaded. Now, when you persuade somebody, they, you kind of remove all doubt, right? And how are we persuaded? By whom? And we'll start with God the Father. Now, who should we be persuaded by? Now, the pastor, he's going to get up here in a little bit, and he's going to preach, and from time to time, he persuades me that I might be wrong about something, or not as right, maybe, as I should be. But when we read in God's Word the way things are, the way we should live, we are persuaded that that's the way it should be. And he says, "For I am persuaded by God the Father." Turn to Romans chapter 4. Verses 19 through 21. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead." "And being not weak in faith," this is talking about Abraham, "he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old." Now, he wasn't dead physically, was he? I mean, he was well past the time that people normally father children. And this is what it's talking about. Now, he and Sarah were to have a child. And he was not weak in faith. He was strong in faith because of who it was that was there to provide this miracle. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not only the father of nations, but the mother as well. For all intents and purposes, they were dead. Verse 20, "And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." Now, isn't that the way we should be as well? "And being fully persuaded," not partway persuaded, or, well, it's likely that this is going to happen or anything like that. No, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If God promises something, It's going to happen. There's no doubt. God's promises are sure. And I don't know how many times I've got up here and I said, my promises, I try to keep my promises. But what was it Yoda said? Do or do not, there is no try. Something like that. Well, we're not going to study about Yoda. But anyway, we need to put in an effort to make sure the things that we say are true. And God, when He says something, it's true. We need to put in the effort to believe it. Also, the Son. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 8 through 12. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Christ has persuaded Paul that he was able to keep that Paul has committed unto him against that day. We're all going to face that day. One might be through death. Might be when he comes back and gets us. I don't know. I think it's going to be soon. Like for it to be real soon. But anyway, we're persuaded by God the Father. We're persuaded by God the Son. And we never guess who the third person is. God the Holy Spirit. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 again. And verses 13 and 14. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. We are persuaded by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is able to keep us. Christ is able to keep us. The Holy Spirit indwells us, and from time to time, we need comfort. And I think we need to look to the Holy Spirit, and I think many times we neglect the Holy Spirit. We need to be easily led. If we are to do something, or to talk to somebody, or a witness, or to study, whatever it is we need to do, whatever the Holy Spirit is leading us to do, we need to follow His direction. We need to be fully persuaded that He's telling us the right thing. Back in Romans chapter 8, where I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we're going to go through these individually here. Death. Not separated from the love of God through death. That's how we enter into His presence. If we're a child of God, that's when we go home. More life. You can't live a life, if you're a child of God, you can't live a life that would separate you from the love of God. And if you look, and you know, maybe you're not what you should be. I got news for you, none of us are what we should be. But life can't keep us from the love of God if we're truly one of His children. Nor angels. Now, angels are pretty powerful beings, right? And Brother Gill seems to think that these are demons. I think if any angel, I don't think any angel is able to separate us. Not that one of God's angels would. I don't think there's a being powerful enough to separate us from the love of God. Nor principalities, is governments. And our government has been trying with all its might, and you might think, well, you know, that's getting political. How many different countries are there where a child of the Lord, they go right after you? You know, you're in prison, or maybe even put to death. Now, I think of China and Russia, other places, Israel. Don't believe me? Go over there and try to witness to somebody about Christ. More powers. What kind of power is, if you look at God, God is all powerful. Nothing comes close to the power of God or the love of God for His children. No power can separate us. Nor things present. There's a lot of stuff out there right now. Can't separate us from the love of God. Nor things to come. What's going to come down the pike next week? We hear people all the time about what new things are going to be. What's going to happen? You know, we have, I remember when I was a kid, I didn't know what a computer was, and I basically still don't, but you know, it's a contraption that sits on a desk, and you type in it, or you mouse it a little bit, and it lets you listen to the broadcast of King's Edition Baptist Church, or it can take you to places on the internet that you ought not be as a child of God. Or even if you're not a child of God. Things to come. Nor height, nor depth. Now, Brother Gill thinks that this means heaven or hell. And that's a possibility. I will grant him that. I think that, you know, you can't get too high. I think this is maybe talking about distance. Or too low, nor depth. Nor any other creature. Now, we've talked about several things here, you know, death, life, angels, principalities, power, things present, things to come, life, death. And if that doesn't cover it all, any other creature. And I have tried to talk to people and explain to them what this is saying. This covers even us. And they, you tell them all these, show them all these things, and they say, yeah, but you can separate yourself. Are you more powerful than God? In the first place, if you're a child of God, it's very unlikely that you will want to be separated from the love of God. At least not in truth. But any other creature. And I think we fall into that heading, you know, all these other things, plus anything else. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it talks here about the love of God in the last part of verse 39. This isn't the love that we have for God. And we do have a love for God through the leading of the Holy Spirit and the love that Christ has given us for our Father. We have a love, but that's not the love this is talking about. This is talking about the love that God has for us, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, God chose us before the foundation of the world. And Christ came and gave his life on the cross for our sins. And the Holy Spirit seals our salvation and leads us in all righteousness. So it's not just a one covers all kind of thing. Anyway, we're going to start with chapter 9 now. And as usual, we'll start with verse 1. And Paul has a problem. He's just explained in all these previous chapters how that salvation is of the Lord. Period. And now he's going to tell them just how much it is of the Lord. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth. From time to time, somebody will walk up to you and say, I'm going to tell you the truth. And you think, well, before this, would you tell me a lie? You know, but Paul has said, this is the truth. You can believe this. You can count on this. I lie not. And my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a witness to us. And he uses us to witness to other people. That he has, he's going to tell them something that they need to understand, they need to hear, they need to know that this isn't something to be taken lightly. In verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, we could say the same thing if we lived like Paul did. And I'm going to go ahead and read verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. This is talking about the Jews. And he says, I have a great heaviness. There's a tremendous burden on Paul. And continual sorrow in his heart. Why? How bad is this? And he says, and I couldn't say this. I couldn't say this. For I could wish, now you notice he doesn't say I have wished, but he says I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. That's how much he cared for his kinsmen. Now, we are in South Shore, Kentucky. And we have members here from Kentucky. And we have members here from Ohio. And we have members here that are from Texas. In Canada, and I don't know where Roger's from. He just showed up. But I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according according to the flesh. Now, this is not talking about a brother or sister in Christ. This is talking about, if you could say this, and I doubt if any of us would, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, Americans. And I tell you right now, I can't think of anybody that could say that, because there's a lot of Americans that I would care to deal with like this, or give up much for. And that's on me. That's not on them. We're all born in sin. I wasn't any better. But if you look at how blessed our country has been, and yet right now, you know, we have done everything we can to turn our backs upon the Lord. Anyway, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, the Jews. And in verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Now, the Jews were really blessed in all this. And if you remember, it says in Romans 3, if you study in Romans, you're going to be going back and forth a lot. I'll tell you that right now. Romans 3, verses 1 and 2, he asks them, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Talking about the Jews. And he goes on and he answers his own question. He says, much every way. Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. What did it just say here? Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. This is all the things that the Jews were given. God's chosen earthly people. Now you notice that these are all things that God gave to them. What did they give to him? Wasn't very good, was it? And he goes on, verse 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Now, it's talking about the fathers here. Talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we're going to study a little bit about them. Not a whole lot, but we're trying to get across just how much salvation is of the Lord. We know what we've learned so far, or hopefully we've learned so far, that salvation is of the Lord. And now we're trying to understand just how much it is of the Lord. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? So the lineage of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, through that lineage, and through David, Joseph. Now, Joseph was not Christ's father, really. But it says concerning the flesh. And it goes on, who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. Talking about Christ. God bless forever. Now, if we are to be Christ-like, if we are to be fellow heirs with Christ, as we studied about earlier on, you are God blessed forever as a child of God. In verse 6, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. And he's telling here, you know, that God's word has had an effect on those it was meant to have an effect on. His children and others harden their hearts. It had an effect on them too, but not in a way, not in a saving way. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect. It is effective. God's word will always accomplish the purpose he has intended for it. And he goes on to say, why? For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Not all of Israel are God's chosen spiritual children. Verse 7, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. Not all. What was it the Jews were saying when we were studying early on? You know, we're the seed of Abraham. He says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. A special call. There is a general call. God calls all to repentance. God's children are given the ability to believe. And we have to trust him. But in Isaac shall they see be called, a specific call, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Okay, those that are just the children of the flesh, they don't have any spiritual connection with God. They don't want to hear about Christ. They don't want to be led by the Holy Spirit. These, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The promise that he gave Abraham. And we're going to I lost my place here. Okay, Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's us, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. This is how we're included in the adoption. Through the promise he gave to Abraham. Now, we just read, you know, it's not just the seed of Abraham, it's in Isaac. God is particular. He is particular in the way that we are to do things, how we are to serve him. We say that we're a child of God, and yet we won't come into his house. You got a problem. You got a major problem. That was because we're not to forsake the assembly together, as the manner of some is. But I think we are to look forward to being in God's house. I knew I did this morning. I was concerned when it was raining and my back was hurting really bad. Oh, no. But it worked out. He worked it out. I can be here. And the scriptures were saying that God would justify the heathen through faith. Grace through faith. And that faith is a gift given to us. Preached before the gospel. The gospel is not new. Abraham was presented the gospel. And it says here, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All right, back in chapter 9. Verse 9. For this is the word of promise. This is the promise he gave Abraham. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Turn to Genesis, chapter 18. Verses 9 through 14. And this is talking when they came to Abraham and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, how many times are we given promises in God's word? And do we put any confidence in? Do we put our faith in? Do we trust the Lord to do what he says? We say we do, but does our faith show it? Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. We've already read about that. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Abraham was old. So was Sarah. They were both well past childbearing years. Can't happen, can it? And, therefore, verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Now, we have a problem in our country and basically around the world today. Women and men seem to think having children is a terrible burden. Don't want no part of having children. It's too much trouble. What did Sarah say? Now, you know, she laughed like, you know, that's a good joke. But he says, she says, after I have waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Anyway, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Didn't show much confidence there, did she? There was going to be a consequence to that, but you know, we're not going to go into that. Verse 14 then, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we need to ask ourselves that. You know, the government this, the government that, and Russia and Ukraine and Canada and you name it. Everything bothers us. Everything is a concern to us. We're worried about everything. And it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And that's a real easy one to answer. No. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And he goes on and says here, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And she did. Back in Romans 9, verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, see how God promises are kept. What all did he have to do? What all did he have to set up in time to happen where I would hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit would make it effective to me and give me the ability to trust in the Lord, give me faith to trust the Lord? Not only this, but when Rebekah had also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, and we're going to stop there, and probably going to back up a couple of verses for next Sunday, Lord willing. I was hoping we was going to get down through verse 13, but we're not. So, there's too much to run through it fast. So we'll start back probably verse 8 or 9 next Sunday, Lord willing. Now, everybody stick around about 5 minutes. Pastor's going to have a great message. So not stay tuned, but tune back in. Have that.